You're listening to an iHeart podcast.
It's Dome's birthday. Happy birthday, Dome. The CDC sucks. Julie Kelly's going to join us. Is Durham really corrupt like I suggested? All that's coming up on I'm Right.
It is my duty and responsibility as a consultant cardiologist and public health campaigner to urgently inform doctors, patients, and members of the public that the COVID mRNA vaccine has likely played a significant role or been a primary cause of unexpected cardiac arrests, heart attacks, strokes, cardiac arrhythmias, and heart failure since 2021, until proven otherwise.
Golly, that sounds really bad, right? And he's not the only doctor out there saying it. I know you've heard the stories, young men with the heart problems, young ladies with reproductive issue problems, really, really scary, especially with something that's been injected in so many people. That's the bad news. The good news is, at least we have trusted institutions who are all over this stuff and they're gonna make the appropriate adjustments. Oh, wait, never mind. The CDC just confirmed today it's been recommended by the CDC for children. What does that mean? It doesn't mean it's going to be required of your child, but if you're in a blue state, it's going to be required of your child. It gives the states the option to require your child to take it before they can attend school. Who's that really smart guy on television who's been telling you to get out and move to a red area? If you didn't believe me before, you will be when Junior has to have a heart attack shot. How many races am I emotionally invested in the country? You know, everyone knows now, there are four. Not saying we don't want a red wave and all that House and Senate and everything else, there are four I care about. Blake Masters, J.D. Vance, Eli Crane, and Joe Kent of Washington. People who actually genuinely want what you want. Not money and power, they want what you want. Joining me now, Joe Kent, going to win his congressional race with your help in Washington. First of all, Joe, I want to begin with the CDC crap from yesterday. All right, it doesn't matter what people believe, vaccine, no vaccine, it really genuinely does not matter. Everyone knows my thoughts on it. We know COVID does not pose a risk to kids. Everyone with a brain knows that. We know the vaccine does pose a risk, especially to young men when it comes to their heart. We know this. Doctors, smart people say this now, yet the CDC universally said give it to kids yesterday. Why don't we have institutions we can trust anymore, Joe? I want to be able to trust the CDC.
I do too. I mean, it's critical that we can trust these institutions, whether we're talking about the CDC, the FBI, or just the federal government writ large. But then you get instances like this. We've been lied to for the last 2+ years about COVID, everything you outlined with the vaccine. And now yesterday, like, we're not even allowed to question 15, you know, a unanimous vote, 15 people on the CDC board, whoever they are, voted that our children should be forced to take the COVID vaccine. So this is just ridiculous, but this is on the ballot in November. We need to elect candidates that are going to go there and are going to hold the CDC accountable and say, hey, through congressional oversight, we're going to get to the bottom of this. And not only that, we're going to use the power of the purse strings to make sure that you don't get the funding to force this on people, to start playing hardball with them. If they want to try and force the vaccine on kids, we can deprive that institution, that organization of funding.
Joe, how do we get that trust back? I mean, a trust is only earned. We need the trust, as you mentioned, but trust has to be earned back, right? You can't lecture me into trusting you again, scold me or shame me. That doesn't work at all. You have to earn my trust back once you violated it. Where do we begin? Let's set the FBI aside for a moment. Where do we begin with something like the CDC? How do they start? What do they do?
Well, with CDC and I think with COVID, I do think we need actual congressional inquiries and congressional oversight hearings into COVID, starting with when the whole thing kicked off. We now know that Fauci knew a lot about gain of function research. Go through that. Go through how the grants were given behind the backs of, you know, two different administrations, and then hold people actually accountable. And the thing is, they're not going to actually come to the table and be honest with us until we threaten to cut off large sections of their budget. And the left's going to say that we're obstructionists. We're just trying trying to destroy all these institutions. We want to defund everything. But this is how we get their actual attention, because the American people aren't going to start trusting these organizations again if they don't see people held accountable when they run off the rails and literally kill people and harm people.
Speaking about killing people, harming the nation, we somehow inexplicably still have a vaccine mandate for the men and women in our military. This video, I'm sure you've already seen it by now, Joe, of a midshipman's going viral.
Sir, through many of the definitions we voted on for what it means to live honorably, we talked about how to live honorably is different for every person based on their own moral code. For 9 midshipmen here, myself included, getting the COVID vaccine would not be living honorably. Even so, the Academy has been attempting to strong-arm us into either getting a vaccine or DOR for the past year.
Okay, stop. Go ahead and stop right there. I don't want to have this conversation with the group, but I will personally have that conversation with you. That's not a 1 to 4,000 conversation. That's a 1 to 9 or 1 to 10 conversation. So I'm not cutting you off because I don't want to answer you. It won't be fair to have it in this group, okay?
Yes, sir.
Okay, first of all, he is cutting him off because he doesn't want to have that conversation in front of everyone. Second of all, say goodbye to your career, Mr. Midshipman, although I applaud you for your bravery. Joe, why do we still have a vaccine mandate when they have now been forced to admit it does not stop the spread, which is the only justification for a mandate at all?
There's no justification, and at this point, it can only be viewed as a control mechanism and part of this ongoing military purge. I mean, look at the military recruiting numbers. Look at all the dangers we're facing throughout the world. Yet the Biden administration, Secretary of Defense Lloyd Austin, are still forcing this onto our soldiers. And look, bottom line, too, is there's lots of healthy, young, physically fit men from my old community, the special operations community, that are mysteriously falling over and dying from heart attacks. I spent 20 years in that line of work. Guys weren't falling over and dying from heart attacks. So this is another place where we need a ton of accountability. And again, we have the power of the purse strings. The National Defense Authorization Act is one of the biggest bills that comes through Congress every year. I'm not signing it until this vaccine nonsense is put to an end and we start having accountability. We bring back people that were kicked out for refusing to take the vaccine, and we make them whole again. That's the only thing that is going to make me sign the NDAA going forward.
Joe, as you mentioned, you are an SF Green Beret, for those who don't know what that means, and CIA pipe hitter type, so you know what I'm talking about when I say there's a rot from within our military people don't see. Heritage has some study out saying we are aging, our ships are aging, our training's going downhill, and now we have something new out saying even special operators, they're going to have a new mission, much more focused on diversity and equity, Joe. Let me tell you, I know you can't disclose this, but in all your time in very dangerous places in the world, did you ever look around at the man next to you and say, man, I hope we're diverse enough to get out of this?
No, I mean, the whole thing is just absolutely ridiculous. It's a tragedy because Biden received the most battle-hardened military we've had in the history of this country. We fought 20 years of war, and I disagree with the way we fought the wars. We fought it with an all-volunteer force, and he has absolutely decimated that because they're focusing on this nonsense. And at this point, you can only view it as a deliberate tactic to make us less ready to fight.
Joe, when they talk about lack of training, that's one of the things that really woke me up. Now, I was only a 4-year below average Marine, but we were training all the time. We were always out there shooting, doing something. But apparently, we're not putting in the hours anymore. The flight hours, the shooting hours. Have you seen this? And if that's the case, why?
Yeah, my time in, I retired in 2018, stepped out of the CIA in 2019, and we were still very much on a war footing. We had a lot of money to go out and train in special operations, but even the conventional forces were training all the time because there was wars going on. We were taking our jobs very seriously. What I've seen now, talking to folks that are still in the military, some of my friends and former guys I worked with, they're saying that they're having a lot of their time taken up by this new diversity training, transgender training, and then also, quite frankly, a lot of the just different purges where they're going through people's social media profiles and saying, hey, we think you might be an extremist, so we need to take away your security clearance temporarily. So there's just a lot of games being played that have nothing to do with fighting our nation's wars.
All right, Joe, that's enough of the ugly. Let's talk about your race. Tell me how it's looking. How can we support you? This is one of the ones I'm going to be freaking crushed if you lose on election night. Tell me about your race.
You know, we're looking good. I mean, we're still up in the polls. It's a conservative district. My opponent's getting a good deal of support right now because the Democrats are able to fundraise pretty effectively. New York Times is kind of hitting me every week or so, but we have a lot of momentum. We've had a grassroots campaign now for about 18, 19 months. So we're not slowing down. We're doing town halls, two or three per day. We're knocking on doors. So if people want to get more access to me, find out where I'm going to be in the district, JoeKentForCongress.com is the place to do that. If people can give $5, $10, $15, that helps us stay on the airways to reach out to all those independents and folks who know that the Democrat Party is nothing but a bunch of radical extremists.
You got $15 for Joe, $100 for Joe. Believe me when I tell you those ads make all the difference in the world. Thank you, brother. I appreciate it.
Very much, Jesse.
All right. Julie Kelly is going to join us next. Before Julie joins us, let's talk about something else wonderful besides Joe Kent getting elected. Let's talk about Eden Pure Thunderstorm. It's weird to be excited about an air filter, right? Because I've always had air filters. Maybe you have them. Maybe you've seen them, obviously. Normally, it's just this huge tower sitting in the corner, making a bunch of noise, telling you it's cleaning all the dust out. And, of course, there's always this filter you have to vacuum out and replace. Eden Pure is so small. It's so quiet. Why then is Eden Pure the only air purifier I've ever owned where if you plug it in your room and walk out, come back in an hour, you can taste the difference in the air? It's so clean. And there's not a filter to replace. That's because it's cleaning your air the way nature does after a thunderstorm. That's why they call it that. Thing's so great, I bought one, went out and bought two more, love those so much, went out and bought three more. I own six of them now. They sell three packs for sale, or they sell three packs to my viewers for $200 off. You have to go to EdenPureDeals.com, code Jesse, get you $200 off. That's a three pack for under $200, free shipping too. EdenPureDeals.com, code Jesse. We'll be back.
Each morning, the President of the United States receives a highly classified briefing on the most important issues facing the country. It's called the President's Daily Brief, or PDB. It's delivered by America's spies and analysts. Well, now you can hear your very own PDB in the form of a podcast hosted by me, Brian Dean Wright, a former CIA operations officer. Each morning at 6 a.m. Eastern, I'll bring you 15 to 20 minutes of the most important issues facing the country, giving you the critical intelligence and analysis you need to start your morning.
Well, I'm going to throw something out there. You don't have to agree with me. That's fine. But I'm just going to throw something out there. Why should I trust Durham? It's a good question. Man, that guy's awesome. Joining me now, my friend, no relation, Julie Kelly, who's been keeping us posted on all the inner workings with everything in Congress, also author of the book January 6th, if you really want to know what's going on in this country. Julie, now call me a cynic. I don't mean to be a Debbie Downer, but okay, we got this Durham investigation. They're going to get to the bottom of it. And so far, we've got Kevin Kleinsmith convicted, no jail time. In fact, he's still practicing law. Sussman, nothing. Igor Dechenko, nothing. Man, if I was a suspicious person, I would think that this whole thing was designed just to placate me and act like they're looking into it and no one's going to go down for it.
So I think that this is a problem, Jesse, with any politically charged case needs to be moved out of the vicinity of Washington, D.C. Even though this was being held in Virginia, it is clear that this entire Beltway jury pool is made up of people who are loyal to the regime, loyal to the government, tied to the federal government somehow. And no matter how much evidence a prosecutor produces, or defense attorney produces in, say, January 6th cases, anyone who is tied to the government is going to get off scot-free. I mean, we have enough evidence of this already, and that's really something that needs to change in the future.
Okay, so Julie, here's what concerns me, because I don't disagree with you, but here's what concerns me. If the modern-day Democrat, whether he lives in D.C., New York, L.A., wherever, pick your blue area, if he's so committed, so religiously committed to what he believes that he will let every Democrat off and he'll convict every Republican, that has moved us into a place in the country we can't recover from. If you can't sit on a jury and impartially judge anything, and clearly they cannot, then How do we fix that?
I don't know. It's really a conundrum, because if you look at, also keep in mind, we don't know if Durham went before a DC grand jury seeking indictments against top officials. A grand jury would be made of the same people from Washington, D.C., a city that voted 93% for Joe Biden. The people on the grand jury would be the same on a regular jury. So you could think, and hopefully this will come out in the Durham report, that maybe he did seek criminal indictments against top officials for conspiracy or fraud or tampering with evidence, et cetera. And he just could not secure those indictments in Washington, D.C. You contrast this, Jesse, with the Whitmer FedNapping hoax. I mean, the government lost huge in that case. Why? Because it took place in Grand Rapids, Michigan, rather than the Beltway. So I'm anxious to see what Durham comes up with his report, to the extent that he can explain all the criminal charges that he pursued and that he could not get out of a D.C. grand jury.
Okay, well, this is actually kind of inspiring. I realize some of this is down, but Julie, it sounds like you trust this guy and this process a little bit more than I do. That's good. Okay, so we're not dealing with just a bunch of show trial nonsense.
I don't think so. I mean, I really do think he's produced a lot of evidence. He hasn't produced any charges, unfortunately, but I think he did his best. And what he came up with, even though kind of made the FBI seem like they didn't know what was going on, instead of obviously the lead player in this whole hoax, we still have a lot of information that hopefully, Jesse, Republicans, they take the House, and I know you and I are very skeptical that they will do anything, but they are going to have a lot of material to work with all of the evidence that Durham has uncovered. The real frustrating part, Jesse, is that Bill Barr did not appoint John Durham special counsel until October of 2020. Think of all the time that he missed as a special counsel, not just the U.S. attorney overseeing it. Really question why Bill Barr waited till the last minute to name him special counsel in this investigation.
Well, I'm not worried about him doing his job. He plays the bagpipes, Julie. Isn't that what really matters? All right, Bloomberg. According to Bloomberg, the DOJ has enough evidence to charge Donald Trump with obstruction of justice. You have been numero uno on this, way out in front of this, saying Donald Trump is going to be charged with a crime. Go ahead and take your victory lap, Julie. Looking like you're right on this one.
Okay, I'm taking it right now. Of course, I shouldn't take a victory lap, because this is a travesty of justice. This is the flip side of the Danchenko and Sussman trial, that these prosecutors are going to bring whatever evidence, made up evidence, in this imaginary crime, obstruction of an official proceeding, bring it to a DC grand jury, and they are going to be chomping at the bit to sign off on a criminal indictment against Donald Trump. So it's not that they have enough evidence, they just have a rigged system that they are benefiting from, and that is what will eventually result in criminal charges, obstruction, conspiracy, against Donald Trump. So of course this is not a surprise to me, and probably not to you either, because you're smart enough to have me on as a guest. Okay. You know this.
Okay, well, I'm not smart enough to see how that ends, though, because this is what I mean, Julie. You just mentioned, you've laid this out a bunch for us, how rigged the system is, especially that area when you're having, you know, trials and things like that in that area. So normally with a case like this, I would say, okay, the guy's going to end up pleading out or something like that. Man, it sounds to me like Donald Trump might end up in jail. What stops it? What stops that freight train? What part of the system there stops that freight train?
Absolutely nothing. They will bring this criminal grand jury indictment. It will go to a DC judge who, just like in every January 6th case, will refuse to move the trial out of Washington, D.C. That's been happening with every January 6th case. He will go before a D.C. jury at some point, who very likely will convict him. And if he is convicted on the obstruction charge, that's a felony up to 20 years in jail. Now, most people who are convicted or have pleaded guilty to obstruction are spending anywhere between 3.5 to 5 years in prison for that. But this is very dangerous in terms of the president and what his legal forecast is, because it's pretty dismal. DOJ is undefeated, Jesse, in January 6th jury trials. Every defendant has been convicted on every single count in record time. One juror joked, it took us longer to order lunch than it did to find this man guilty. That is the environment Donald Trump will be walking into.
Golly. Okay, Julie, a case that is really flying under the radar, but man alive. Back in April, there was a raid. The FBI raided somebody. It was an ABC or former ABC journalist, I believe, a producer, working on a book about the botched, embarrassing, criminal Afghanistan withdrawal. The thing is, that was in April, Julie, and no one's seen or heard from this person since. Julie, what's happening?
I don't know. To your point, not only was he raided by the FBI, this was like a military assault FBI raid with SWAT vehicles and all sorts of other vehicles and armed agents. And they took him out in April. Not only has he not been seen, he hasn't been charged with anything. And DOJ is now leaking, someone from the investigation leaking, that he possessed classified documents on his computer. But no charges related to that accusation have been filed. So we're not sure what happened to Mr. Meek, but this is just another example, Jesse, of how abusive and vengeful and unaccountable this DOJ and FBI are to round up a journalist, and he basically goes into hiding. And we have no criminal charges filed, and no one really seems to be bothered by it. Except for us.
All right, finally, Gen X. You have a great column up today. Gen X, they don't like Democrats. What? Why?
Well, because we were raised in the 80s, the greatest decade ever. And of course, we were raised on Ronald Reagan. We were raised on fun. We were raised on not just anti-establishment, but also the ideas of liberty and freedom. You know, those were the things that we were instilled in us during our politically formative years. And so these numbers, Jesse, for Joe Biden, it's not even like they're close. I believe the one poll that I discuss in my piece right there, that's a huge gap. Of course, these are people aged 44 to 65. We had a little bit of the baby boomers, young baby boomers in there, but whatever. They probably skewed it a little bit better for the Democrats. But these are disastrous numbers. But this has been playing out really since Joe Biden was running for president. He is very deeply unpopular in Gen X, and Donald Trump still is pretty popular among Gen Xers.
Good. Julie Kelly, thank you, ma'am. Come back soon.
I will. Thanks, Jesse.
All right. Did you know it's Dome's birthday? I'm going to wish her a happy birthday next. Don't think that just because she's a Democrat, I'm not going to extend a hand out and have her extend two hands out to me. Before we get to that, let's talk about your vitality. No, I'm kidding. Quit. Stop. Let's talk about your energy. Men, ladies, now, more than ever, because we have medical institutions that are crap. That's not a technical term, but crap. They're horrible. You can't trust them. Was just at the doctor the other day. My kid fell, busted his arm. Doctor asked, does he have a COVID vaccine? Does he need one? What's that got to do with the busted arm? No, lady, no. It's a fixed arm. I take a male vitality stack from Chalk every day. Ladies, take a female vitality stack. Not injections, not big pharma filth. It's going to blow up your heart. We're talking about natural herbal supplements, U.S. manufacturing, the most hardcore anti-communist company I've ever run into in my life. Get a subscription to a male vitality stack. 20% increase in your testosterone in 90 days naturally. Fellas, be bouncing off the walls. CHOQ.com, promo code Jesse. CHOQ.com, promo code Jesse. We'll be back.
Happy birthday!
It's a great day today, an outstanding day. You know why? It's a day of celebration. Vice President Dome turns 58 today, the big 5'8". So we wish her a very merry, happy, merry, happy birthday to Vice President Dohm. And look, she's on now her third speechwriter. Well, actually, that's not true. She's on her fourth. Her third speechwriter just took off. That's like 15 minutes into her vice presidency, she's on number four. It must just suck the life out of you to work underneath Kamala Harris. But there are great parts about the job. Think about how much you learn about mechanics. I mean, look, electric school buses? How sweet is that?
What are some parts of the Inflation Reduction Act, this amazing new law, that you are most excited about?
One of the things that I'm very excited about is what we have been doing in terms of electric vehicles. And I have a particular fondness, I must tell you, for electric school buses. I love electric school buses.
That was so great. I love the pause. Hey, what's your favorite part about it? Well, geez. It's like the wife when she redecorates the house. Hey, did you notice my new decorations? Oh, absolutely loved them. What was your favorite one? I don't know all of it, really. Joining me now, my buddy John Phillips of the John Phillips Show of the great KABC in Los Angeles. John, she loves those electric school buses, man, the birthday girl.
Oh, I'm so happy you brought me on this very special day, Kamala Harris's birthday. And you know, I would imagine that like most of us, later on tonight, she's gonna have a wonderful dinner with all of her friends and family and spouse. And after the dinner, there's gonna be a great big birthday cake with lots of frosting and what was it, 57, 58 candles on it? Something like that. And then she's gonna make a wish. And she's going to blow out the candles. And I can tell you right now, I will go on the record. If after she makes her wish and blows out the candles, tomorrow morning we find Joe Biden hanging in Jeffrey Epstein's cell, I'm not blaming this one on Hillary.
John, Kamala Harris goes through staffers like big league players go through chewing tobacco. Why? It really is crazy because, look, if you're some political staffer, some Democrat fresh out of college, maybe you're an intern working for the vice president, even one who sucks, working for the vice president is a big deal. It looks good on the resume, right? Vice president's office. Yet they come and they go.
Well, they come and go because it's not working. And if it's not working, you don't want to blame yourself. So you have to find someone to blame to be the sacrificial lamb. And in her case, it's her staff. And not only is she losing confidence in her staff, but the people above her at the White House are losing confidence in her. All of these negative stories that you've seen about Kamala Harris didn't come from Republicans. They've come from two different groups of people. They came from the Biden White House, and they came from disgruntled employees that work for her. And since all of this started, look what the White House has done. It's been very quiet, but they have consistently been moving in this direction. They've benched her. It's like Biden being the old manager with the gut hanging out, walking real slow to the mound and putting his hand on his arm and calling for relief pitching. It wasn't Kamala Harris that was all over the Sunday shows this weekend promoting the administration and their effort to fight inflation. It was Pete Buttigieg. Pete Buttigieg is now the number one administration official in demand from all of the shows. Because what you have with this crowd is you have a crowd that can't talk. Joe Biden is demented. He can't talk. Kamala Harris can't stop the giggling. She can't talk. Their press secretary can't talk. They've got a vegetable running for Senate in Pennsylvania. He can't talk. The one person that they have that can go out and can speak to the people, albeit he's selling something that's not very popular, is Mayor Pete. And don't believe for one second that this is going unnoticed among Kamala Harris and her staffers. She and her staff has to be the angriest people in the world right now.
You know, I gotta say, John, this is why I love having you on. I didn't even think about that. Of course they would sit and it would just grind their gears watching the Rear Admiral on every single Sunday show, knowing that they were not asked to go. Of course they would view that as some sort of slap in the face, which I guess in a way it is. By the way, you brought up can't talk. It actually is a good point when you put it that way. Press Sec can't talk. Dome can't talk. Joe can't talk. Fetterman can't talk. All right, I realize each one of these individuals has their own reason why they can't complete coherent sentences, but this is starting to become a trend. Do you make something of this?
Well, with each of them, as you said, it's different reasons why they can't communicate with people. But typically what they do is they rely on the mainstream media to sell their programs for them. However, in this day and age, when you had FDR that was in the White House and he was in a wheelchair, people didn't even know that he was in a wheelchair because the news media hid it from us. JFK was sleeping with everything with a heartbeat. People didn't know about it because the news media kept it from us. They did solids for their team. But in this day and age, with technology, with the internet, with the availability of video from not only public appearances, but even private appearances and those sorts of things, it's just something that can't be hidden anymore. The power that the mainstream media used to have to cover for these people who have always not been able to talk, or at least most of them, Bill Clinton could talk and Barack Obama could talk, but many of them could not, you can't hide it anymore. It's in plain sight. And when it's in plain sight and it's undeniable, it cuts through the noise and the people see it.
Okay, John, everyone talks about the House. We're going to take back the House. Red wave, and I believe there'll be one, not because Republicans are decent, just as Democrats suck so bad. But the Senate is one to watch. Are you watching the Senate? Are we going to take the Senate? What race has intrigued you?
Well, I mean, there are a bunch of close races, so you could have a situation where if the late-breaking polls continue to move in the Republicans' direction, they could really run the table and pick up a bunch of them. There was just a Times poll came out that showed Republicans favored nationally by, I think it was 4 points. And don't forget, that's a poll that had Joe Biden up by, I think it was 17 in Wisconsin, and that ended up being a razor-thin margin on election day in 2020. So it's a poll that historically oversamples Democrats. If that trend continues and Democrats peak too soon, as appears to be the case, then you could really see a red wave that not only hits the House, but hits the U.S. Senate. Now, that being said, candidates matter. And you see a bunch of different examples of that. You see, for example, in the state of Georgia, where the Republican running for governor is doing fine, but Herschel Walker is lagging behind where Brian Kemp is. You've seen in Pennsylvania a huge spread in between where Dr. Oz is and where the Republican nominee for governor is. So the question is this bump in generic poll numbers for Republicans enough to carry some of these people over the finish line who have experienced some problems on the campaign trail?
Yeah, that is the question. John Phillips, thank you, my friend.
Thanks for having me.
All right, we got more still to come. Before we get to that, let's talk about your money. We don't have votes that come around very often in this country, right? Every 2 years we vote for the House and a third of the Senate. Every 4 years we vote for all that in the presidency. But every day in your life, you don't get a vote. Joe Biden does something stupid, you don't get a vote. Your local congressman does something stupid, you don't get a vote that day when you're mad. But you actually do get a different kind of a vote every single day. Your money. Where do you spend your money? Where do you not spend your money? Where do you spend your money on health insurance? Do you send money every single month or 6 months or whenever you pay your premium? Do you send your money to a company, a health insurance company that believes in transitioning boys into girls? I bet you do. Switch to OneShare Health. Same great coverage, incredible prices, a faith-based insurance company, faith-based. And whatever you need, vision, dental, telehealth, they have it all. Go to my.onesharehealth.com/Kelly. Promo code Jesse Kelly saves you $75 off your enrollment fee. How about that? my.onesharehealth.com/Kelly. Promo code Jesse Kelly. We'll be back. Are you a violent person? I'm not. Well, not anymore. I'm not a violent person anymore. And you're probably not either. You probably don't like violence, I would guess. So you're somebody who doesn't want to do violence. You certainly don't want to experience violence, right? All right, that's good. That's good. Okay, let's all admit that's where we're at. Right, good, good. It's a good place to be. So let me ask you something. You walk in the house tonight, and there's a bad man who's broken in the window, and he's got your wife by the throat, your husband by the throat. Are you going to do something to him to stop it? Oh, you are? I thought you weren't violent. Oh, you mean sometimes in the search for nonviolence, you have to become violent to stop it? Okay, I want you to hang on to that for a moment because I want you to understand something about politics. No, we're not talking about physical violence. We don't need any of that. Remember, legal, at all times legal. What we're dealing with are communists now. You do remember when Bill Barr, he was AG, and he got up and bragged. He got up and bragged behind the podium about how we're not going to do a tit for tat. The only way to stop this two-tier justice system is to end the cycle. Sounded great, right? Maybe you even cheered. Yeah, that's right. We'll be better than them. Principles, baby. Woohoo! You remember. And Democrats took over. Joe Biden becomes president, appoints Merrick Garland AG. Did Merrick Garland sit back and observe Bill Barr's good conduct and say, man, that's impressive. I'm inspired, and that's what I want to be. You know what? Guys, we're also not doing political prosecutions. I have seen his good example, and we're done with it. Did he do that? Nope. No, he didn't, actually. You're probably laughing right now. He got in there and promptly said, oh, nice. Power. Sweet. Hey, FBI, we have school board parents. Go destroy their lives. January 6th people, even ones who didn't go into the Capitol, make sure you throw them in prison the rest of their lives. Oh, hey, hold up, guys. Don't leave yet. We have pro-lifers. They're on the menu. Anyone who's been reading Bible verses at those abortion clinics, let's send the SWAT team in. Don't forget about Donald Trump. Hey, whoa. We got to send 30, 40 guys into Donald Trump, arrest all of our political opponents, throw them in prison now. Because we're dealing with communists here. If you continue on the right to think about these people as just Democrats, well, just on the other side, we just see things differently, then you're never, ever, 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 ever going to stop them. The communist is never going to be dissuaded by your good conduct, ever. He's never going to look at your principles and how you're above it all and say, man, I want to be like that, guys. He looks at you saying, hey, hands off. And he laughs at your weakness and stupidity because he knows he's already won. News out today, Kevin McCarthy, he did an interview with Punch Bowl News, asked about impeachment and things. Quote, I don't see it before me right now. I think the country doesn't like impeachment used for political purposes at all. If anyone ever rises to that occasion, you have to. But I think the country wants to heal. The country doesn't want to heal, Kevin. That's a lie people tell themselves. Oh, don't get me wrong. I know maybe you're sitting at home right now watching me on television and saying, boy, I wish we could heal. I wish the divisions could be healed. I wish the divide could be bridged. I wish we could come together and live peacefully. But you have to understand, if you're sitting in your living room watching me saying that, you don't get your wish. You're never going to get your wish. You had better drop that mentality and change it. You don't get your wish, and it's not your fault, right? It's not your fault. They don't want to heal with you. They want to destroy you, dominate you, put you on your knees, and make you beg in front of them for even just a little crumb of something. They don't want to heal with you. They want to destroy you. They're never going to be dissuaded by your good conduct. If we're going to do this thing again, where Republicans take over the House and Senate and then promptly do nothing because we don't want to look bad, the country's already over. The country's already over. And I'll be frank with you about something. When I hear Republicans speak like this, it makes me want to vote Democrat. And this is why. Let me explain. This is why. This monster that we have, this communist monster, he's only growing, right? If we win the House and Senate, let's say there's this big red wave in November, he doesn't shrink. He doesn't go back down to size. He may stop how fast he's growing, but he's going to stay right there, more ravenous, more powerful than ever. If we're not going to do anything to chop him down to size, then eventually they're just going to take over and he grows some more to eat all of us, to eat the rest of us. So if we're not going to do anything to shrink that monster, then I'd rather we just go ahead and grow him up and get the whole thing over with now. That's how angry and disheartened talk like that makes me. Democrats are going to impeach the next Republican president about 5.5 seconds after they take over the House the next time that happens. And they're going to impeach him virtually every single month. Republicans will still be sitting in the back. That's not who we are, guys. Principles. Well, we all get our lunch eaten. Makes me freaking sick. Bunch of low-T eunuchs in our party. I swear, I need to stay away from the news, because the next time I hear something like that, it's going to make me want to punch the ticket for Democrats. It does. It does. All right, I got myself fired up there. I didn't mean to. We got to lighten the mood next. I need this light in the mood, as you can tell right now. Before we get to that light in the mood, if we're just going to burn the whole thing down, we might as well eat while we're doing it. My Patriot Supply. You know I was a fan forever, right? You've heard me talk about them a long time, long before they partnered with the show. They're fans. How sweet is that? They're fans of the show. So they partnered with the show because I'm big on preparation. I just believe in it all the way. It makes me feel good. It makes me sleep better at night. Do I have ammo? Do I have water? Do I have food? You have to have an emergency 3-month food kit in your house. Do you have 3 months worth of food? If you do, fine. Forget about it. You don't need to worry about it. If you don't, My Patriot Supply has them ready to go. I don't even want you to take my word for it. Go look at the reviews. High-end, 2,000 calories a day, packaged, ready to go. In some cases, a 25-year shelf life. Get it. Stash it. Lord willing, you never use it, but boy, if you end up needing it one day. Go to preparewithjessekelly.com because they have $250 off. Preparewithjessekelly.com. We'll be back. What's the greatest thing about communism? We talk about it a lot. Again, I can't take credit for the line, sadly. It's my buddy Phil with All That Remains. That's the name of the band, but he's the one who came up with the line. Dang it, I wish I came up with it. Well, what's the greatest thing about communism? The greatest thing about communism is all the communists communism has killed. Put a smile on your face. At least take solace in this. In the end, all these communists, they all eat each other. Pol Pot took over Cambodia. 22 members of the Central Communist Committee. In 1 year, 18 of them were dead. Stalin took over. Wiped out all the communists. In the end, because they're just evil little monsters who live to destroy, in the end, they eat each other too. AOC didn't think she was going to be exempted from that, right? She continues to get absolutely attacked at her own town halls for being, well, wretched trash. And she can do the little dance thing she does here all she wants. Believe me when I tell you, this bothers her because she never thought that wolf was going to come to her door.
Very classy. Thank you, sir. Thank you, sir. Okay. I'm not allowed to be in a room when the lights turn off. It gets a little... Listen.
Tried so hard to be cool about it, went home and cried herself to sleep with her girlfriend, or boyfriend, sorry. We'll see you tomorrow.
Each morning, the President of the United States receives a highly classified briefing on the most important issues facing the country. It's called the President's Daily Brief, or PDB. It's delivered by America's spies and analysts. Well, now you can hear your very own PDB in the form of a podcast hosted by me, Brian Dean Wright, a former CIA operations officer. Each morning at 6 a.m. Eastern, I'll bring you 15 to 20 minutes of the most important issues facing the country, giving you the critical intelligence and analysis you need to start your morning.
You're listening to an iHeart podcast.